Glad to be here. 1 Samuel chapter number 28. Before I read 1 Samuel chapter number 28, let me mention to you and read to you two verses that we have given to us by the Holy Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 6, talking about the children of Israel, he says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." So they were given us as examples. And then he says in verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they are written, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." All right, so they were given as an example and then as an ensample for us, upon whom the end of the world, well, we're that much closer, aren't we? So what we're going to read in 1 Samuel chapter 28 has a purpose. It's not just a history of the children of Israel and things that happened in this instance in the life of the first king of Israel by the name of Saul. All right? And I'm going to, say it this way. Let's not throw Saul under the bus. All right? Let's not throw Saul under the bus so quickly, maybe. All right? We're going to read some things here that's like, goodness gracious, you know. But wait. Let's not throw Saul under the bus so quick. All right? The Bible says, "Let a man examine himself." And what did Saul do so bad? I can tell you what David did. I can name sin after sin after sin in the life of David. Well, what did Saul do? And yet God rejected Saul. We're going to find out, you know, but we're going to find out. And yet David, after he kills the guy in cold blood, God says he's a man after mine own heart. How does that work? How does that work? Interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Let's pray. God bless our time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, "It came to pass in those days that the Philistines," what are the enemies of God, "gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel." I mean, that's what enemies do, right? "And Achish said unto David, Know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do." You're talking about a traitor. We're talking about David right now, with the enemies of God. "And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." Well, anyway, that was about David, but let's get on with Saul. Now Samuel, verse 3, was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city, and Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Is that good or bad? That's really, really good. That's really, really good. I mean, good on you, Saul. Because God said to do that. "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa." Good on you, Saul. Not running from the enemies of God. Doing a good job. "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled." Well, we know Saul's kind of that way, because we remember that story about the Philistine by the name of Goliath. And even though Saul was head and shoulders above his man, fellow man, he was hiding in his tent. Well, that's not so good, Saul. But faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is overcoming fear. And I see those signs on cars that says no fear, and I'd like to go prove otherwise to them. Yeah, be careful. That's if If the Holy Spirit didn't hold me down there once in a while, I'd just, with my own flesh, you know, rear back and go to smack him in the teeth and say, "I thought you said you had no fear." You liar. If they're bigger than me, I'll just get a pole or something. But anyway. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Well, that's good. I mean, you know, he inquired of the Lord. So I want you to notice this. And when Saul inquired of the Lord. So did Saul inquire of the Lord or did he not?
Yes, he did.
Hold your place. Let's go over to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 10. Now it's the same history of Israel, the book of Chronicles. Who wrote Chronicles? I don't know. I'm asking you. For some reason, it's coming, pulling a blank. Anybody know who wrote Chronicles? Anybody got one of them cheap Bibles that tells you who supposedly wrote the book? The Chronicles of the Kings of Israel is the name of the Bible. I mean, the book in the Bible. But I just wondered. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm just asking. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, because I just can't remember off the top of my head. So in 1 Samuel chapter 28, remember what we read? And when Saul inquired of the Lord, so did he or did he not inquire of the Lord?
Yes.
All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and let's read verse 13, where the Bible says, "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and was also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired," what's the next word? "And inquired not of the Lord." Did we just find a mistake in the Bible? Well, one says he did and one says he didn't, and things that are different are not the same. You've heard me say that. So which one was it? Did he or did he not? Because they both can't be wrong or right. Or they both can be wrong, but they both can't be right. Okay? Now I'm going to get to it. Don't stop right there like my wife in Spanish, all right? Can't go any farther than that. All right? I'm not making fun of my wife. I'm just saying that sometimes the mindsets that we have, all right? Don't stop. We're going to get to this. But I just want to show you that in 1 Samuel, it says, inquired of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, he says, inquired not of the Lord. Therefore, because of that, the Lord slew him. The Lord killed him for not inquiring of him. But wait a minute, I thought he said he did inquire of him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. I mean, it's pretty drastic if it is or if it isn't. Let's find out here what the story is, all right? We're going to get to that, so just keep paying attention because you just never know where I'm going to stick that answer in, all right? So you got to stay with me here. All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 28. So Saul inquired of the Lord. That's what it says here. And the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Wait a minute, Saul. Wait a minute. Didn't we back in verse number 3, that Saul put away all those that had familiar spirits and the wizards, and we were patting Saul on the back, and now he's like, where'd they all hide? I got to find them. That I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. Now, how do you disguise yourself from somebody who can tell who the future? You know, if they could tell me what stocks to invest in, wouldn't they invest in them? Anyway. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord. I swear by God. Who's he swearing to? A witch. By who? By God. Now let's not throw Saul under the bus so quickly here. Let a man examine himself. I swear by God, as the Lord liveth. My sister said there's a lot of people who know how to speak Christianese. I thought that was interesting. There shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And the woman said, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for thou what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up. How many of you knew that Samuel was an old man? I was stopped in Oklahoma City to stretch my legs, and I stopped and was kind of walking around. There was a boot store, so I went in. And the gentleman at the boot store, I walked right by him and walked down to where on the wall it said size 8, 8.5, 9, 9.5, 10, 10.5, 11, 11.5, 12, 13, 14, I think it went up to 15. And so I got to 12, and I kind of paused, and he says, I would say you're a size 12. Man, you're good! It's like, let's state something less obvious, you know? And then I reached down and kind of picked up a pair of boots, and he says, You are a man of good taste. I turned them over, and they were $5,780. You can tell them too, couldn't you? You know, like, okay, tell me something you don't know. Evidently, you know. I put him down like a rattlesnake before they bit me. Oh, anyway, he's an old man. Yeah, Samuel's an old man. He's covered with a mantle. Yeah, that's Samuel. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. No, he never saw him. And Samuel said this. And let me say this. All right, Brother Harris, explain that one to me. I don't have a clue. Was it really Samuel? I have no idea. If it was Samuel, how in the world did that work? I have no idea. The Bible doesn't share it with us. Was it Samuel? I don't know. The Bible never really says it was Samuel. All right? She says, I saw an old man with a mantle. Well, everybody knew that Saul was an old man with a mantle. And Saul says, Oh, that was Samuel. You know, we see a lot of things we want to see. And excuse it as the will of God. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I know what I saw. And the Bible says, I just read it this morning, that the devil portrays himself as an angel of light. It isn't no great surprise that his ministers do the same. I was up here last night, late in the night. I was making a phone call to Skype call to Australia for our church over there. And so the time difference had me up here. And I thought, that's all right, I'll study. There's some creepy noises in that building over there. And I mean, it give you the boogie, you know, whatever, you know. And I imagine a lot of people go running out that door, but you don't know what I heard. I don't either. But a lot of people hear what they want to hear. Sometimes you just need a little get alone with God and let the creepy noses do what. God's still in control of those creepy noises and the not creepy noises. He didn't change who God was. quit paying attention to the creepy noises and just pay attention to God. Amen. Quit seeing what you want to see and just, well, you know, you don't know what I saw. No, I don't. I don't think you do either. You don't know what I heard. No, I don't. I don't think you did either. Because the Bible says we have a more excellent word of prophecy whereunto we do well. Peter says, I touched him. Peter says, I handled him. Peter says, I saw him. Peter says, I spoke to him. But we have a more excellent word of prophecy whereunto we do well to take heed unto. More than having a physical Christ walking with you, God says you have something better. That's an amazing thing. Take advantage of that. Take opportunity of that. So let's get back to our reading here. So, verse 15, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. You think they were fighting Saul, or you think they were fighting God's people? And God has departed from me. Well, there's a truth. And answereth me no more, neither by prophets, nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me? What are you asking me for, if you already know the answer? The Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. Now that's an interesting, the Lord hath done to him. Why would he say that and say not say, the Lord hath done to thee? I'm just asking. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, and that happened in 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you don't know. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee. Remember, that's a story where God said to go fight Amalek and kill them all. Right. Right. That's your compassionate God for you. For those who say God is love and he'd never, he said, wipe them out. All the babies. Wipe them out. Because God is just. And the fullness of their iniquity had arrived. And I can't call God unjust when I don't know the history. I know a little bit of it. And that's good enough for me. But Saul says, whoa, man, they got some good stuff. I mean, you know, the devil's had it long enough. Oh, man, I've heard that before. Verse 19, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel now. This is what's going to happen. With thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy word, which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a... That kind of reminds me of that verse, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Yeah. Isn't that the wrong mindset? And he says, you're going to die. And he says, no, I'm not going to get up. And you're going to die. And, oh, well, eat, drink, and be merry. There is a very sad commentary in there somewhere. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof, and she brought it to Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. Now we're going to skip a couple chapters, but let's go over to chapter 31. So they do have a war. And you probably know how it went, that an archer drew a arrow, perchance, if you will, and it found Saul. And he didn't die right away, but he finally leaned on his third sword and died. They also killed his three sons. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 6. The Bible said, "So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day." So we now know the end of the story. Saul died. All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel 28. All right, here we go. Let's not throw Saul under the bus just yet. I'm not saying Saul was a good king. And we understand God rejected Saul because Saul went against God's word. But didn't David? And the answer is yes. But David was always willing, when Nathan came and stuck the finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man," David was always willing to say, "I am, I'm wrong. Forgive me, God." And when Samuel, the man of God, came to Saul and said, "What is the bleeding of the sheep? What meaneth the bleeding of the sheep?" Saul says, "Well, I'm not wrong. I had a good reason. The devil's had him long enough. Let's not throw Saul under the bus just yet." Now let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I want you to notice verse number 18. The Bible says, so he's being told that the kingdom is going to be ripped out of your hand, given to your neighbor David. And then it says, "Because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord, nor executedest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." Again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 15, specifically verse number 9. Saul did wrong. But I have a past that continually trips me up too. Now hang on. All right. How many of you have a past? All of us. Well, I just wanted to make it easy to answer. Okay. We all have a past. I have a past. I've done some wicked things in my past. If I didn't do them outright, I sure did them in my heart. And the Bible says if we do them in our heart, we're just as guilty. I've killed people in my heart. I'm just glad that God's overcome anger in my life. Man, I was on a bad road. At 16 years old, 15 years old. Now I've said this and I'll say it again, but I thank God for a good friend like Doug. Because friendships can break or make. It's a personal decision. I understand that, and I'm not giving anything away to personal responsibility, but if your friend isn't who they ought to be, get rid of them and get a good friend. Amnon had a friend. Didn't go well. But buddy, if I'd stayed on that path, if I was alive, you'd have to find me in a penitentiary. Because I was a mad little guy. And trauma, the man that had more to do with my staying alive in Africa than anybody else. You know, some of you know me as I is. I wasn't always like this. When Doug first knew me, I was the smallest, skinniest, scrawniest. Don't say ugliest. I don't know about that one. But we had one guy that was that ran a close second to me, Tim Smith. But you would have thought we were twins. I mean, you talk about scrawny little. My older brother's nickname for me, you can call me this if you'd like, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, and words will always break them. But anyway, no, I don't have no problem. My mom's name, when she was born premature, her name is Tiny, because she was always really tiny. I wasn't born premature, I just had competition. It's called Schistosomiasis mansoni. It's this fluke worm that eats everything you eat and then eats you. And I was in competition with that guy for a long time, and he was winning. I was my nickname is Pee Wee Harris. Befitting then. And my older brother, who wasn't Pee Wee, he used to sit on me and punch me in the gut, make me cry. Pee Wee Harris, Pee Wee Harris, punching me in the gut and the face. Pee Wee Harris, and I'd sit there with my eyes just a ball, and I'd say, Joel, one day I'm going to get bigger than you, and I want to beat you up. Pee Wee Harris, you and whose army? I got bigger one day. I never beat him up, but it came this close to it. He was the one that backed down, and he was a Marine. But I have a past that troubles me. It trips me up. And every time I try to do something for God, the devil says, aren't you the one? Don't you remember? I mean, that was like, what, 30 seconds ago you were thinking something like that? And now you're thinking that you're going to do something for God? And who are you? And Pastor Rogers Sargent, who wrote the ABCs of Christian Growth, he says in that ABCs of Christian Growth, when the devil reminds you of your past, amen, remind him of his future.
Right.
And I like that song I heard first here at Cazadale Baptist Temple. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been thrown out. I don't remember them anymore. And when the devil reminds me of my past, because I got one. Don't throw us all under the bus so quick. I remember that they're under the blood. And I can live right now. And if God was to take my soul right now, I would stand before God. I have this opportunity to stand before God with no sins on my record. And God says, what past? All I've got written down here is covered by the blood. But see, Saul's was never covered by the blood. Why? Because he never asked. And you may have a past that just trips you up every time you turn around, but it can be covered by the blood. You can ask God, forgive me, and the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so may I ask you, why isn't your past covered by the blood? It's not excused. It's forgiven. But then not only do I see the past that trips me, but in verse number 4, 5, and 6, the Bible says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly troubled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And we find not only the past that trips him, but we find the present that torments him. The present that torments him. And not only do I have a past that trips me up all the time, but I've got this present that I'm scared to death of. And Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart was greatly troubled. He greatly trembled. You tell me that you're not there all the time. You tell me that you don't live in fear a lot of the time. But it's the same thing that we have a past that trips us up, but it's forgiven if we ask if we're a born-again child of God. All we have to do is ask, and we look at David and we say, but you know, Saul, okay, what'd he do? David, oh man, look at this list, and yet how is it that he's a man after God's own heart, and this guy is rejected by God and then killed by God because of one time? The Bible says, if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin in Hebrews chapter 10, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. And it's just showing us that a willful sin requires a willful repentance. Amen. But when we willfully come to God and say, God, I did that. I meant to do it. I was wrong, but I did it. But Lord, please forgive me. God says, it's forgiven. Now let's go on. And then this present comes to us and we say, but what am I going to do about my job? But what am I going to do about my family? But what am I going to do about my health? But what am I going to do about this? And what am I going to do about that? Trust in the Lord and do good. And there's this present that torments me, but there's an overcoming of it. Now, let me go back to that, you know, let me go back to this verse number 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, and yet when we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, where the Bible says that Saul, he died because he did not inquire of the Lord. And let me give you this. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, if I hide iniquity in my heart, God cannot hear me. So which one was it? Did Saul inquire of the Lord? Yes, he did. Did God ever hear it? No, he didn't. And so what's the difference here? 1 Samuel chapter 10 is written from Saul's perspective. I inquired of the Lord. And 1 Chronicles is written from God's perspective. No, you didn't. And you may say, well, I've tried to get the Lord to give me some counsel. That may have actually come out of your mouth, but it never came out of your heart. Because if it came out of your heart, you would have gone back to the problem and said, God, forgive me for stepping out here. And God, let me get this right. And God says, I hear you now. I hear you now. But so many of our lives, we have these hidden sins. The other men's eyes are hidden, and we don't want to do anything about that. But then we get to this area, and we say, no, God, help me, help me. God, where are you at? You got to help me here. And it's like, God isn't even listening to me. It's not that he's not listening. It's that he cannot hear. Because of some rebellion, because of some attitude, because of some action. So we find the present that torments me, the past that trips me up is forgiven, the present that many times torments me, it doesn't need to. Just get my life right with God and say, God, again, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is overcoming fear. And say, Lord, they're all against me, and they're bigger than me. And God says, my grace is sufficient. And then I want you to notice verse number 18, if you were with me. Verse number 18. So in this, however this works, again, I really don't know how to explain it to you. It's just, it's written in the Bible, so, you know, here it is. But it goes on and says, to Saul says, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore the Lord hath done this thing unto thee this day. Because you did not, therefore the Lord hath done this thing unto thee today. Now let me read to you a verse in Psalm chapter 130, or the 130th Psalm, and I'm going to read verse number 7. The Bible says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. It doesn't matter what we do, with the Lord there is great mercy. There is plenteous redemption. But I also read in the Bible in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, where the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in verse 18 here of our text, the Bible says, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, Therefore, because of that, hath the Lord done this thing unto thee, that you're going to be killed. There's the prophecy. So we have the past that trips me, the present that torments and troubles me, and then we have the prophecy that tells me. I've got a word of God that tells me what will happen. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Therefore, because of this, it didn't take a witch to prophesy the future. It takes the word of God. And God said, you do this, this is the outcome. And it's been said many times, you can choose the road, but you cannot choose the destination that road takes you to. You cannot choose this road of disobedience to God and think that the destination is the blessing of God. It doesn't work that way. You can choose the road, but where you end up is where that road leads. And there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof is the ways of destruction. And the Bible says, strive ye to enter at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. But and few there be that find it, but wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And so there's the reality here of the prophecy or the word of God that tells me. You cannot break this. It is established. I like when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil there, in the temptation of Christ, that the answer of God, the answer of Christ. Now, who is Christ? He is the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And yet, when the devil tempted Christ, he did not say, "Devil, I tell thee." He says, "It is written." It's already established. It's already there. And I have in my Bible the prophecy of the Word of God that tells me. There is no guessing where this road will end. We'll see how it comes. C'est la vie. What will be, will be. No. God's already established it. We have the past that many times trips me up. It's all right. Put it under the blood and go on. There's the present that torments and troubles me and makes me fearsome. That's all right. Give it to God. His grace is sufficient. There's the prophecy that tells me. And then I firmly believe with all my heart, because Psalm 130 is in the Bible. And it says in verse number 7, again, Psalm 130, verse 7, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with them is plenteous redemption." I firmly believe in my heart that if Saul would have come out of there with the fear of God, that God said, "Let's turn this around, Saul." Yes. There's the precepts, number 4, that teach me. This is given to us for an admonition that we might be taught. Now, let's not throw Saul under the bus so quick. Why, what a terrible king he was. Yeah, what'd he do? What was his big sin? Who'd he kill? What kind of a bloody man was he? He was actually kind of a peaceful guy. He was kind of one of those lovable, huggable bear guys. A big old guy, but hey, it's all good, guys. He probably was a very positive person. I mean, he got up and ate, didn't he? Well, let's see. But he based it all on a vain philosophy. When it's all established in the precepts of the Word of God. So let's not throw Saul under the bus so quick. But let's a man examine himself and see whether he be of the household of faith. And I read this chapter and I think, that doesn't even go together. I swear by God that I'm going to do wrong. And how do you do that? But I've heard it out of the mouth of 1,000 people. Pastor, I promise you, I swear by God. You're lying to me. How are you swearing by God? Man come by the house last Saturday and got home, knocked on the front gate. I looked out, didn't know who it was. So I went out the back door, and I come around, and he goes, "Hermano," which means brother. I didn't say it out loud. I said it in my heart. Whose brother are you? Because you're not my brother. I don't even know you. I said, "How you doing?" "Hermano, doing good. What can I help you with?" He said, "Be a brother and loan me 100 pesos. I need to pay for this or that or whatever, and I'm going to give it back to you this afternoon," he said. I said, "Whoa, pull the horses up here. No, you're not. So quit lying to me." "Well, how do you know that?" "Because nobody ever has before." I don't have a problem giving him 100 pesos, 5 bucks. I think it was Mark Twain that said, "If it costs you 20 bucks to never see a guy again, it's worth the price." There you go. You just saw a little mindset of Stephen Harris again, you know. Sorry you had to see that. I know, I'm in the ministry. I'm supposed to be dealing with people. I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." And he invoked the name of God. I said, "It doesn't come out of the same well." I said, "If you want to bring the 100 pesos back, please do. I'll give it to the next guy. But don't swear on God's name you're going to do it." I said, "Because now you just put yourself under the judgment of God for eternity." He's like, "Whoa, I wasn't going here." I gave him a tract, invited him to church, and he promised to be there. And he never showed up. His name is Obed. I think it's Obed Edom, I think. I don't know, you know. It's like, why? Let's not throw Saul under the bus so quick. But let's first examine our own life and say, you know, who am I more like, David or Saul? And we all want to say David. Really? Man, I don't want to be your friend. You're like David? Not a nice guy. I'm a lot like Saul. I'm a nice guy. I just won't repent. So the past, that trips me. Get over it. Ask God to forgive you and walk in the light. The present, that torments me and troubles me, God is bigger than all my problems. Faith is not having no fear. Faith is overcoming your fear. The prophecy that tells me, God's already told you what the outcome will be if you listen to it, and the precepts that teach me. Here we go. Read these things. They're given for our admonition, and I'll close with this. You cannot change your future by continuing the errors of your past. There's a precept. You cannot change your future by continuing the errors of your past. You've first got to get those errors under the blood. Repent, which means not just confessing, but forsaking. And turn again unto the Lord our God. But before we next time hear the word Saul and we think, hang on now, hang on, don't throw him under the bus so quick. Maybe we're quick to throw him under the bus because we really identify with him, don't we? Let's just be willing to say, "God, instead of obstinately and stubbornly hanging on to the sin in our life, just get it right with God." Are you saved this morning? Because if you're not saved, God cannot hear you. The only prayer God hears is, "Forgive me and forgive me." And And once we establish that relationship with Him, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. If you're not saved this morning, if you're not ever repented of your sin, trusted Christ as your personal Savior, may I ask you, why not? Because it's just that simple. Repent and believe the gospel, and thou shalt be saved. And if you, why not? And then may I ask you, when? When do you plan to do that? Because that time frame you have in your mind may be too late. Because the Bible very clearly said yesterday, and it says it today, today is the day of salvation. But you may not be around to hear it tomorrow. So why not now? Christian, you know you're saved. Let's not throw Saul under the bus so much and just say, wait a minute, God, where do I stand? Let's stand with